Talk, JD Bunkus, Sam McKee. Fun one tonight. Leafs beat the Bruins. A couple of empty netters to get the thing done. Matthew Nye scores a hat trick. Auston Matthews looks healthy. We got to start with that, right? Like, what do you start with this? Because this is actually, like, a guy scored a hat trick, but the best player on the team came back. The captain of the team came back and seemed like he just jumped in the, like, the healing fountains.
Here's what I'll say. This game, like, a complaint of ours on Leafs Talk this year is that all the games have looked exactly the same, where it's just like a close game, then nothing happens, and then the Leafs win by one in the third period. That was not the case tonight, where it was a back-and-forth affair. I mean, they responded incredibly quickly on three separate Leafs goals tonight, including the empty netter by Marner, where he selfishly didn't pass it to Matthew Knives with a 4-point. No, I'm joking. But
Kipper somewhere was just like, shoot it in.
Anyways, I felt like it was a really, really exciting back and forth game between two rivals. That's, you know, if you paid your $550 for a lower bowl ticket tonight to the Leafs game, you got your money's worth. It was it was a great event. It seemed like the crowd was good. I really, really enjoyed the game tonight. I was engaged all the way through, but yeah. Lots to get into, but I think it's harder to start anywhere other than Matthews, right?
Yeah, I agree. Like, this is no disrespect to Matthew Knies, but you, Borny, and I just did a segment on Friday talking about what happens if Matthews is only 75%. How much does that impact your deadline? Mm-hmm. What is that? What happens if he comes back and he gets hurt? Should he be playing in the Four Nations? Like, we have wasted so much oxygen on what Auston Matthews' injury is, and he came out earlier in the week and said that he's not sure that it's something that he can get over in the season, and that the cross check didn't help. My God, everybody in the country has Matthews fatigue. It's not just fans outside of Toronto who hate the Leafs and hate any commentary on this team. It's the fans themselves. And tonight, like, was this his best game of the year?
Definitely. Definitely. Like, no contest. This was the best he's looked all year. He's clearly had production throughout. He's had multiple games. I think he's had maybe two goal games this year. But just in terms of physicality,
exactly right,
engagement, sort of sharpness, skating, everything. Like, I don't think it was 100% full Matthews, but this is as close as, I think this is as close as you've gotten all year. Like, I think really,
that's 100% Matthews, man. What, like, he was laying hits. How many takeaways did he have tonight?
Like, I mean,
how
that's 100% Matthews. He doesn't fan 100% and go, like, I think there's some rust involved here. Okay, like, in terms
I
of,
I didn't feel that watching him. I felt like he dominated, like, every shift he was on the ice, essentially.
No, he was good. He was really, really good. I just think, you know, like, he hasn't played in a week. And, like, once he gets back up to health, if he's still, like, I mean, back up to sort of, you know, feeling right in terms of his wind, in terms of playing in the NHL game, getting back to that, he'll look better. But coming off of a mystery injury, second time out, this is by far the most you could ask for. Like, this is, I did not expect this. And quite frankly, seeing the news this morning threw me for a loop. Like, it was not something I was expecting, much like what you said with the quotes earlier this week. So getting the news that he was practicing on a regular line, leading the stretch, and ultimately coming back into the lineup tonight, it was pretty surprising. But yeah, I think he, for one night only here, he answered a lot of questions, and, you know, we can get into all the conversation we've had, you know, but, like, the ideal scenario is this, that, like, you have one of the top five guys in the league back. That is the ideal scenario.
Just look like him. I'm not even with you on the rust. Like, I got no notes for Matthews tonight, man. Like, I was so incredibly impressed with the way that he was on the forecheck, the way that he backchecked, the board play that he had this evening, the amount of turnovers that he forced. Like, the pass that he makes to Matthew Knies on what was the hat trick goal, like, that's all just Matthews being completely vintage, getting in hard on a forecheck and creating for himself. Like, how healthy is he if he's doing that? The empty net goal that we just ran there, where it's like full dive poke, one of the nicest empty net goals you'll see.
That,
like,
is the degree of difficulty to go full speed, having a guy bearing down on you, stretch out and perfectly, like, toe poke a puck with the end of your stick. Is incredibly impressive. So yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about what you want from the Leafs and who they're going to spend the money on. It's like, well, the ideal scenario is that they have $3 million to spend because they have Auston Matthews playing at 100% and is ripping and is going to let you try to win a division, so you get an easier first round matchup. Tonight was incredibly encouraging.
I get what you're saying about, like, hey, like there's maybe a couple spots where it's like he doesn't rip one in the back of the net or whatever. I actually thought that
off the end glass, like he, that one where Swayman comes across, that's usually bar down. He kind of, he's a little bit quick on it, doesn't make his usual, you know, take 1 second rip at home. Like he rushed a couple things tonight, but I don't really care about that. That's just like reps. That's him not playing. The physicality, the decisiveness, the skating, the back checking, the plays he made, the passes, like that all is the stuff that's more important to me. And like the touch will come as he gets to play a little bit more here, but yeah, like as good as it could be tonight.
I thought though that when he did get some looks, the wrist shot looked totally back to normal. Like it had the real force behind it again. Like he had one, I think it's in the third period, where he just grips it and rips it. And I went, yeah, that looked like vintage Austin Matthews. And I'll say this, man, like it's a real reminder too of this guy's not just a sniper. He's just such a complete player. And that's what was so encouraging for me tonight. I know I'm kind of like going in circles on this point, but he was just all over the ice. Every facet of the game, Austin Matthews was just a premier player. And, you know, this is kind of the way that we can pivot into Nyes is like, Matthew Nyes isn't scoring, you know, he's got a goal in 15 games. He scored twice in all of January. We're having conversations about whether he's hit the wall.
In December.
Sorry, what did I say?
He said in January. Yeah, he scored three times in January.
Well, I was going to say, actually, I was right. He does technically have two goals in January.
Correct.
He technically, I didn't
not
say
only it, two,
I
but
didn't
three.
Say anything wrong. But it's just the way that his line mates look tonight, the way that he just makes defensemen have to second guess themselves when he starts to bear down on them, the way that he can just like help with the breakouts with this team. Like, how many times did he break the puck out for his line tonight? If Matthews looks like that, a lot of people are going to be booking trips to Germany looking for German doctors if this continues this trend.
I don't know. Maybe it was somebody on our home soil because old Heelan Hans over there didn't really work. Came home and he looked the same. And then he gets, you know, somebody in, you know, in Mimico gave a couple of blue lights and he started feeling better. I don't know. They get the Canadian healthcare system got looking at that back and starting to feel better.
Or
but
he
yeah.
just did the thing. He's like, hey, you should go lay down for a bit. And he did that. He's all right.
Tomorrow to me is a massive test because it's the second half of back to back. Is it in Philly tomorrow?
I don't know, but I was actually going to ask you about this.
Like, oh, it's in Toronto again. So it's like, you're not getting on a plane. You're not flying away. You get to sleep in your own bed tonight. Like, you know, the second half of back-to-back with travel would be more of a test to me, but still seeing how he looks, how it responds after playing. I like that he came out and said, I want to play both of these babies. Like he wants to play. And yeah, like it's, you go into tomorrow hoping to see more of the same, but it'll be really interesting to see how all his sort of quote unquote injuries, AKA his back that everybody knows what it is, responds after a big night and his first real like exertion in a while.
Yeah, you're right. The plane thing is big for real. Yeah. Like you don't heal, like everybody, you don't have to be a sports scientist. You can be a casual sports fan to know that your body doesn't heal the same way when you have to get on a flight, when you're beat up and when you're trying to recover. So for this to not be that situation is a good one for them in order for them to kind of like really test it out and see how he is going to perform the following night. I'll just say that I like that he's playing in the second night of the back-to-back. And I do like that he doesn't want to be Joel Embiid, right? That Elliott comes out with a port. He wants to play in all these games. Doesn't want to be in the out of the lineup. I don't think it's just important for him. I think it's just important for the team too, man. Like Toronto was healthy tonight. No Stolarz, obviously. Yeah. But how many times have we seen this team fully healthy this year? Kind of refreshing to just watch the Leafs roll all of their actual lines out there and go, oh, okay. Like now you're actually getting real information on what you have as a group here.
Yeah. I thought it was a really, really strong lineup tonight.
Yeah.
Like just in terms of even the fourth line, you know, with Ryan Reeves not in there and having Dewar, Lorenz, and Kampf, I thought they were excellent on the forecheck. They spent a lot of time in the offensive zone. You know, that third line is, it's a real roller coaster ride because God, that one goal they gave up in the defensive zone where like Domi flies out and McMahon's like attached to his hip and it ends up, but it goes down the other way where Robertson beats Lowry, who looked like he was dragging a Mack truck behind him. Mm-hmm. He makes that great pass to McMahon and you expect that to go in the back of the net. Like that line is a real roller coaster ride, but those two as your bottom six looks like a real hockey team. And then if you're thinking about adding on top of that to kind of mix in and mix people in and out of that bottom six, then you just look at that top six it's starting to look like a real forward core. And then you talk about the D core, like tonight was just an encourage. You know, there was some defensive gaffes. They let four go in the net. I understand it. But just as like a full lineup tonight, looked like the best team in the Atlantic Division kind of lineup tonight. I thought they looked awesome.
I agree. And like the goals against some of them, like I think you and I both, we were texting a little bit. Wool was not particularly sharp. Nyes was absolutely sharp. Like getting goals.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Nyes,
I mean,
goals wrong. I'm throwing them under the box.
Nyes, we're how long into this show? Nyes had 5 points. He was plus six tonight, six shots on goal, played 18 minutes. And we're like, but I don't think Wall was that great.
but hold on though. I just wanted to kind of say that it's like, I didn't think that the goals against were all that egregious. Like Wall was bad on the one that gets scored 12 seconds after the Leaf score was like, he couldn't track the puck. That doesn't happen very often. Like he didn't know where it was. It's sitting right in front of his crease. It's like cover the puck and he doesn't, and it ends up in the back of the net. And then the other one that happens is like, McCabe and Tavares, two guys who are used to like winning puck battles and never really making those kinds of mistakes, they just kind of have a bit of like an in-between play where they're too close together and they're like, ew, no you. And then it's David Pastrnak who happens to be there and he rips one past Wool. Another one where it's not a bad goal, it's David Pastrnak, but one where you'd probably just like want a bit of a save. So I didn't even feel like I felt the shots were even in the game. Like Boston definitely had their moments. They weren't terrible in this game, but just kind of to your point about like the best lineup in the Atlantic look tonight, I never had a moment where I felt like, oh man, Boston's better than Toronto. I kind of felt like, oh man, Boston's lucky to be hanging with these guys despite the shots.
Yeah, totally agree. Like I my thoughts on earlier on Elise Talk where you were making fun of me for saying that the Bruins sucked. I still believe they suck.
Well, like, I think it's like one of those things where
when the Leafs ultimately lose to them in seven games and whatever round of the playoffs, like you can clip this, but I don't think they're a very good team. Like I look up and down the lineup.
You know what? There's a couple things to me about them is.
Like it's a lot of like, it's a lot of Zaka. It's a lot of Coyle. It's like, holy crap. Like, I know Pastrnak's
good.
They
don't have a lot of dangerous guys. Their blue line is slow.
Yeah.
Like, the Leafs were
big.
The Leafs are like creating odd man rushes tonight, like getting out on the rush. And you were like, when do you see that?
No,
like,
no, they turned them over in the offensive zone. Like, it must have been 10 times tonight. Like, and specifically the one on that Matthews makes, the play to Nyes, if we can transition into Nyes here, like McAvoy, he's just not quick enough to make a decision, and bearing down on him is one of the elite two-way centers in the league, picks his pocket, beautiful, beautiful saucer pass that Nyes just hammers home. Like just that's, and God, like, you know, we don't talk about this very often, but the production on this, like, you know, like the behind the scenes, the camera guy, like the boys better be having a beer talking about that shot that guy got tonight of the low angle of Nyes going bar down. It was an awesome, awesome angle. So kudos to the Sportsnet cameraman who got that, because it's just like a perfect, like you see how precise, I don't know if we're going to have it here or not, but a precise bar down off a great saucer pass to cap an incredible night for Nyes. Three unbelievably nice goals for Matthew Nyes tonight.
All gorgeous.
Like this tip, the one, if you're watching right now, is all world. That's a top 10 like tip of the year. How good is
I was
that?
Actually gonna ask, I was gonna set this up, like which one do you think was his prettiest goal tonight?
I actually do think the first tip, the degree of difficulty. Okay. Like the one where he's like behind the back, that's obviously absurd, but he kind of just loses it in his feet, and that's like an instinctual play and he throws it there or whatever. That's, you know, that's a great goal. But I think for him to actually be trying behind his back to get a stick on that and have it actually come off and sort of flutter over Swayman. Swayman couldn't believe he got that. He couldn't believe he got that play. So I'm still saying the tip, but God, that second one, the around the back, which he did in the playoffs too, if you'll remember. I forget who it was against. Was it against Florida? He did something similar to this?
I'm going goal two. Like
goal one's the nicest for me.
Goal two is just absurd. Like the control for his body going full speed to duck behind the defenseman, track the puck, find it,
Nice goal.
Then make that move again, all at like full speed is outrageous.
What's the opposite of a Sophie's choice? Because that's what we have here tonight. Like all three of these are great choices.
They're so nice. Dude, I would actually say that's the nicest to me, the two. It goes 2-1-3, but three is kind of my favorite.
Oh yeah, three is so nice. Like listen, you've been following and watching hockey your whole life. There is nothing better than posting in. There just isn't. Like off a sweet saucer pass where you connect on it like it's a home run in the middle of the stick, post up into the top of the net. Yeah, like that's a ridiculous guy. I take it back. That's the nicest one.
No, that's the nicest one.
Yeah, it is for sure. Yeah, as I watch it here again, if you're listening on Spotify like the, or it, iTunes,
the tip is gorgeous, and sense, it is, but it's still like the luck is involved in the tip of like getting the stick on it. That's that one's just all world skill. That's that's just that's insane to point that guy out. Like you roll the tape of that goal and go, how many goals does this kid have in the last month? And people will be like, well, that's he's Ovechkin. So I'm going to guess that it's 12 and be like, no, two. Yeah. Everything just felt right tonight. Everything felt we're the Crush boys tonight. It's just gushing.
I mean, he had a huge night. Like, like I said, like I read off his stat line before, but I'll just do it again quickly here. Yeah. 5 points plus six. He had a penalty, six shots on goal, two hits, one block shot, 1852. That whole that line had an absurd night. Oh, Marner shot, Marner had 5 points.
Yeah.
Matthews had 3 points. You know, Marner had a couple, had the one, the empty netter or whatever. But like, yeah, I mean, they're just ridiculous. Even
I think Marner got 2 points. No, we only one off the empty net, the goal.
Yeah. This
he
one.
Didn't get an assist on Matthews because it was a foot race.
No, he did. No, he did. He definitely did get it because he saucered. So he had two empty net points.
Okay.
He saucered it up the, up the boards. Yeah.
And so it's like he gets two of them.
He had three points and 200 empty net. But still, good stuff. That line. Listen, like that line, if they, you know, I didn't think that the Tavares line was particularly great tonight. They had their moments, I thought. But if they can get both of these lines going, it's really hard to compete with that. Mm-hmm. Like if you can have to, what Tavares and Nylander and Pacioretty bring at their best in terms of sort of like the two heavy guys and the elite sniper that finds the soft spots. And then you put these three guys up there, like that's a formidable top six. So it's just, you know, getting one of the best five guys in the league back in the lineup really makes you look better. It's a stunning revelation.
For me, still, as much as this is a team that protects leads, right? Like, and that's been their identity in goaltending. If you're going to have these three guys play together, this needs to be the identity of the team. Like score those guys just go out shift over shift, cave you in, turn pucks over, create high danger opportunities. Nyes and Matthews both, like Nyes a little bit harder on the forecheck, but Matthews and Marner turning you over along the boards and like, you know, kind of on your back, scaring you in terms of the making a mistake. And then all of a sudden it turns into a high danger chance. Like this was kind of to me outside of, again, a bit of a shaky start from Wohl and a couple of like minor mistakes. It's just like a blueprint game for the Leafs. So we talk about them playing these complete games, and the reason why they get criticized sometimes when even when they win and why style points matter for this team is because we do get the odd occasion where they put one together like tonight.
Yep, absolutely. And I was just looking at the plus minuses tonight. Yeah, the second line ended up as a minus two tonight, all of them. So they didn't have their best night tonight. Zeros across the board for all of them. But yeah, I mean, they've been really good, and they've and I just and they still ended up
more game-winning goals than any Canadian player in the NHL right now. So
yeah,
like, I'm not. Yeah, like
I mean, Sam Bennett has one goal since December 3rd, so he's red hot.
Yeah.
Anyways, we can move on.
Yeah, it could be a mistake paralleling it.
Yeah, remember when everyone's like Tavares can't be on the team, and it's like, well, maybe he could have thought about it. You know,
maybe could have thought about it.
Could have.
I think they thought about it.
Dave Cameron picking this team? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, I will say it's not as encouraging given the junior results of not just taking the best guys. The identity things, like, you better work.
Better work.
Better work, guys. Anyway, to close the Nyes points, like, the guy's up almost 5 minutes a night here this season compared to last year. Uh-huh. We had seen lulls in his play last season, but I really do think that I don't think like he's a bunting or it's like, you know, a complete creation of the Matthews Marner line, but I do think that he is somebody that loves to be on this line and rises to the occasion of it and just like fits it perfectly well. And like, there's really just no need to tinker with it. Like, just leave these guys together.
He has enough of an element of the skill, as you saw tonight, enough of the physicality where he can dig a puck out. I don't love him in transition. Like, I really don't think he's a great transition player in terms of like breaking the puck out, but they have two guys in that line that can really do that. So you don't need to worry about that as much. But in the offensive zone, he's really dynamic with his physicality, his ability to get to the front of the net. And that's where goals are scored in the playoffs. So yeah, you got to leave these three together.
And shout out everybody that throws their hat on the ice. Like, again, McKee would never do it.
Buddy, if I'm going to the Leafs game, I'm wearing my A hat. Okay. I know, but like it's an A hat kind of night.
I've heard
there's
just
no shot of throwing the A hat. And there's, if you're watching on YouTube, you just saw the shot of the night by a Sportsnet camera person. Yeah. Crushed it. Great job.
Yeah, it was an awesome job. Awesome, awesome, awesome job. And yeah, throw your hats when you're there. Who cares if it's your A hat? Go buy another A hat.
No, hey, guess what? I got so many A hats, buddy.
Exactly. You got a million hats and you won't even throw one.
No, Godless. They're all too good. I've procured the best hat collection in Toronto. So
outside of the mistake that McCabe made tonight with the in-between play that we mentioned, he was awesome and he scores a goal. So the Leafs defense gets a goal for the first time since, I think, November 26th.
I bet it was November 30th, I saw me, but you could be right.
I don't know.
Either way, it's a long time.
It's been a while. They didn't score in December, and yeah, he buries one, and it was a beauty.
Yeah, really nice. Good recognition by him to jump up here. And, I mean, if you watch the replay, an awesome pass by Marner, where he does that little delay where he puts the stick out a bit further to open up the space, puts it right in the slot for him, and he hammers it home. I would never call him an offensive defenseman, Jake McCabe, but I do think that he has like a touch of offensive instincts where he can make this read. And obviously he has a bit of offensive instincts because he beat, you know, Swayman clean with a wrister. But I do think that he has a little bit of this game. I don't want him to do this a ton. Like, I think he's much better when he's focused
there
on
defense. There, you got
to
do it though.
And yeah, there it's an obvious spot, but you know, we always get a little bit worried with him when he gets too horned up offensively and trying to hammer guys. So I like him better when he's picking his spots like this. But yeah, I mean, that was a really, really nice shot. And a guy that's been awesome for the Leafs, player with Panev. And that contract to me looks really good that they signed him to. I'm happy he's around for a long time.
Any other major talking point for you, or you just want to hit the little rapid fire?
Is this a major one that I texted you about this? I may be investing in a bit of real estate on Philip Myers Island.
No, it's
just
beyond,
like a touch.
It's beyond rapid fire. Like, okay, sure.
Okay. Like just a touch of, I like this guy. I don't know, man. I think he's got some size to his game. I think he's shown a little bit of chemistry with Morgan Rielly, which is something that is really hard for the Leafs to find. I think he's making good reads. He's good on the penalty kill. I do think that there's a world where he's this year's like Simone Benoit kind of thing, where they found a guy here where he's bounced around. Now he's got a little bit of stability. He's got a bit of size to his game. Like, I'm not saying that he's, you know, I'm not like overstating it here, but I do think that he can be a capable contributor to this team, especially when he shoots right. And the fact that you have your top pair shutdown guys that you're not going to have to worry about trying to pair him with Rielly and overplay him or whatever. Like, he's a guy for me that can play 15, 16 minutes a night on your team and potentially play 12 or 11 in a playoff game. That's where I think I'm at on Philip Myers. I've liked what I've seen from him. Been impressed. So my home, I'm not buying a home yet, but I'm getting a little bit like a block, so maybe some waterfront property. Just thinking about a house.
Sure.
No thoughts on Myers? I thought he was good again tonight.
I'm completely indifferent about his game. Okay. And if he's on the playoff roster, it's like because someone's hurt.
Okay.
What I like the most about him is that it's just like, it's more competition. He's on a cheap contract and like, there's no bad 880K deal for a big right shot D, but like,
he's gotta be pissed off. I mean, who's Hakanpaa's agent? That guy's gotta be the best agent in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, Hakanpaa's like, Myers, like, you gave him over $1 million. I can get 850. Yeah. He's got no knees. How did he get $1.5 million from the Leafs? There needs to be a 30 of 30 on that.
Be with an NHL team and get ready to play for Finland for a week and then shut it down. It's like, that's it. That's what he got. This good agent. Yeah. He did a good job. Yeah, like, he's fine. Like, you can buy your little island. You can.
I got a little stock. I'm selling my Connor Timmins stock and throwing it into Philip Myers. Is that okay?
Yeah. It's
my penny stocks.
I'm a penny stock guy. I just hate this take because it's such a like low risk thing. Like it's just like, the guy who makes 880K was looking like a guy who makes 880K. Like,
no,
sure,
I think
he looks
a bit better than that. I do think he looks a little bit better than that. I do.
All right. I always use this reference, but it's the same always. It's like I'm Don Draper in the elevator. I don't think about you at all.
Okay, fair enough. Like, I've just been noticing 51 a little bit out there, because he's looking like Jake Gardner, but just that 51. I've noticed him a few times.
I hate that he wears Jake Gardner.
We've already done too much time.
I know. I was gonna say, like, yeah, you're right.
But I like him.
My rapid fire actually has to do with another one of the defensemen, which is, man, can OEL have a game where he doesn't take a beating?
Oh my God, he takes a beating. He really does. Is this guy going to survive the rest of the year? Like, that was a brutal shot he took there. Like, that was, he goes back out on the power play, so he's fine or whatever, but God, it was a good battle. I don't know who, was it Geeky that he was battling with? Like, they were fighting in the corner hard.
Trying to impose himself in this game with the physicality. He ended up taking a penalty there, but yeah, I just, I kind of, you know, it's getting bad when you start to think about it every time. It feels like every game now, it's like, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, the guy who's banged up, took another hard hit, took another tough play.
He hammered Pastrnak tonight, too. Like, he really is engaged. It's funny. What did he sign him for? $4 and $3.5 million?
It's 4-year contracts, which is, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I would say he is exactly a $3.5 million defenseman. Yeah. Like, I think that's the exact money that he is worth.
We'd still love to see him power play one.
For sure. That we were talking about that last show. Like, I still think that there's more to unlock there with him, but like what they're getting from him is exactly the value on the contract. It just feels, you know, like he's not overpaid. He's not underpaid. He just kind of, you know, he's out there. He makes good physical plays. He can snap it out here and there. I've liked him. He's given them value on that contract, I think.
I do think that there is a bit of an awkward fit.
For sure.
They're fully healthy.
Yeah, no question.
With him.
Well, I mean, there's a ton of lefties on every team that you got to fit in. So it's tough.
For sure. For sure. It's just that, like, the thing I think about it with him is like, all right, if power play two is never going to play, right? And he's not good on his offside, which he's not, like, is he worth $2.5 million more than Benoit? Like, what? Okay. Yes. I'm just saying, like, okay, so is Benoit going to come out of the playoff lineup?
He's not worth 3 or 2.5 more than my boy Philip Myers, but he's, you know, he's getting
there. Philip Myers of literally no memorable moments, but all right.
Hey, broke up a couple cycles tonight, a couple shot blocks in the power play.
Yeah, no, actually he's fine tonight. You could notice the size in a physical game against Bruins. All right, nothing else for me.
The last thing I'll say is, like, Pastrnak, I think, is the number one Leaf killer of all time. In my lifetime.
No way.
He always scores. Always scores.
That's an insane take.
Who?
No, it's clearly when it was the Heatley Spezza line with Alfredson. Those three guys. Go look at their stats.
But it was a different time.
So
time.
What?
They lit it up when the Leafs were horrible. Like, that was like they were.
It doesn't matter.
It was like playing the 2013 Leafs. Like, it's just they lit up the Leafs when they were horrible. This has been like throughout this entire era. He scores every single game, scores massive games, goals against the Leafs, overtime winners in the playoffs, game seven. He's the number one Leafs killer. I do.
He's scary.
I really do.
He's scary. There was nothing like that Sens line against the Leafs, just knowing that they were going to have 6 points.
But then who was the number one guy on that team that was the killer? The line.
I think it was Heatley.
So you say Heatley's a bigger Leaf killer than David Pastrnak?
Yeah, during that period of time, terrified.
Right now, like, I who had more career goals against the Leafs? You should look that up.
Well,
like,
yeah, but one guy's played more seasons at this point now. Like,
yes,
so it's probably around it. I actually bet you it's close. I would love to have that pulled up.
I could do career, a quick if you want to talk. Yeah.
No, it's a career points against the Leafs. I bet you it's still close because those guys were just, they beat the brakes off the Leafs over and over and over again. And yes, they didn't do it in the playoffs, so maybe. I would say that's like the biggest feather in your cap in terms of the top Leaf killer is Pastrnak's done it in the postseason, whereas those guys didn't.
Okay, I'm pulling up Heatley's career splits right now.
Yeah.
Against the Toronto Maple Leafs in 42 games, he had 51 points for 27 goals and 24 assists in 42 games against the Leafs.
Yeah, murderer.
And what was David Pastrnak? I'm doing it quickly. Somebody says, our man says, guys, talk about 44. Talk about 44 while I look this up.
No, I'll tell you this. I get this all the time. I would say that, like, listen, I love the DMs at JD Bunkus on Instagram and Twitter. Like, I like it when people reach out. But, like, I'm just painfully sick of this. Like, I'm painfully sick of people.
What else do we want to say?
Being like, I'm mad about Morgan Riley. You got to be more mad about Morgan Riley. It's like, we talk about Morgan Riley's struggles all the time on the show. Like, It's pretty well documented at this point. Like, I don't know why every night needs to turn into like a full throttled Morgan Riley murder. I did feel for him tonight because I don't know if the puck bobbled or if he fanned on it though. Still, I didn't get that angle.
So in it bobbled. It skipped over his stick. So back to the Leaf killer thing. Heatley was 27 goals in 42 games. Mm-hmm. Pasternak is 20 goals in 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on track, and that doesn't—I don't think that includes playoffs. So if you add the playoffs to that or whatever, but anyways, it's close. They're both big time retailers.
Either way, it's not like your answer is not like egregious to me. Like, I think my reaction was bad when you first said it.
Yeah,
because I'm just like I think I usually just push back to the recency bias stuff, but I just remember
this a while now, bud. We're getting old. Like, this has been a long time of Pasternak murdering the Leafs.
No, it has been. I'm just saying that, like, I lived in Ottawa during that time.
Yeah,
I went to almost every game when the Leafs were in Ottawa. I made my way out on that dirty bus, either Elgin Street bus or the
getting
Ocean
fired out to watch the boys lose 9-1 to the pizza line.
I told you, still to this day, the best moment I had against the Sens that was in the playoffs was Alfredson maybe getting hurt because it was David Bell or what Bell. Mark Bell.
Yeah. Mark Bell.
Yeah.
With the birdcage.
Yes.
Threw like the dirtiest headshot on Alfie. And no one could fight him because he was wearing the birdcage.
And I almost got in like, almost got in a million fights with Sens fans because it was just like, I was thrilled. This was at a different me. I was young. So I was rooting for injury guy.
I was
every Raptors fan when KD hurt.
Oh, I cheered. I cheered my ass off. I cheered too. I was at the bar. I was like, hell yeah. Get off the court, buddy. Give me my championship, bud. Take a lap.
Enough of time has passed that we can just all admit that we all cheered when KD got hurt.
Anyways, I saw Mark Bell at the alumni box last year when I went with Kipper and Borney. And it's my all-time regret that I didn't talk to him about that hit. Because it's like one of my favorite.
That is a regret.
I just be like, buddy, how sick was
that? I'm
like getting
him on my show just to talk to him about that hit.
Good talker. We actually had a great, I think he's a scout for maybe it was the Coyotes at the time. So maybe he moved to Utah or whatever. But he was doing some scouting and stuff. So Mark Bell.
Yeah.
Didn't think that would come up tonight, but boy, did it.
I actually want to get a framed photo of Mark Bell crushing
hammering
off
him. Yeah.
I really would love to have that in my office. Like, that's as close as we got to Jara ragdolling. McCabe.
Yeah, it was an awesome one. And another great Leaf on Sen moment. And we didn't even play the Sen, so I don't know why we're talking about this. But Dion Phaneuf, who was named to the second team on Stefan DaCosta, is still the biggest hit a Leaf has ever thrown.
Yeah.
And it was that was on a senator as well. So that's another one too. Anyways, we should
wrap this up. Show's over. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkers, at Sammy McKee. Reach out anytime. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe, review, do all the things that I ask every single show. So if you haven't done it by now, go to jail. We'll see you tomorrow night.